brought to you by Penguin.
Penguin Random House Audio presents The Oracle of Night, The History and Science of Dreams, by Siddhartha Ribeiro. Translated from the Portuguese by Daniel Hahn. Read for you by Joe Jameson. Because of Vera. For Natalia, Ernesto, and Sergio. For Luisa and Kima. In the name of our ancestors, and of the seventh generation after us, dream, memory, and destiny. As soon as we were up on our feet, we started to migrate across the savannah, following the herd of bison, beyond the horizon to new, distant lands. Children on our backs, expectant, eyes alert, all ears, sniffing that unsettling landscape. New and unknown. We are a travelling species. We have no belongings, only luggage. We go with the pollen in the wind. We are alive because we are in motion. We are never still. We are nomadic. We are parents, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren of immigrants. What I dream is more mine than what I can touch. I am not from here. But nor are you. Jorge Drexler, Movimiento, Movement. But the dreamers move forward, releasing their parrots, dying in their fires like children and lunatics, and singing those anthems that talk about wings, about blazing rays of light, the language of their forefathers, a strange human language on these scaffoldings of the builders of Babel. Cecilia Midelis, Liberdad, Freedom. To read is to dream by another's hand. Fernando Pessoa, The Book of Disquiet. Chapter 1. Why do we dream? When he was 5 years old, the little boy went through a disturbing phase in which he had the same nightmare every night. In this dream, he was living without any relatives near him, alone in a sad city beneath a rainy sky. A good part of the dream took place in a maze of muddy alleys that circled gloomy buildings. The city, which was surrounded by barbed wire and illuminated by insistent flashes of lightning, looked more like a concentration camp. The boy and the city's other children would invariably end up at a scary house where cannibal witches lived. One of the children, never the boy, would go into the three-story building, and everybody would watch the many dark windows, waiting for one of them to be suddenly lit up, revealing the silhouette of the child and the witches. There would be a horrifying scream, and that was how the dream ended, only to be repeated, in detail, every night. The boy developed a terror of sleeping, and informed his mother that he had decided never to fall asleep again, so as to avoid the nightmare. He would lie still in bed, alone in his room, fighting desperately against sleep, determined to remain alert. But ultimately, he would always succumb, and a few hours later, everything would start over again. The fear of being the child chosen to go into the house was so great that he was unable to prevent the repeating of the narrative, unable to avoid falling into the same oniric trap. His earnest mother taught him to think about flower-filled gardens as he was drifting off, so as to calm the beginning of his sleep. But after the dark curtain of midnight, the nightmare would return, relentlessly, as if the dawn would never be allowed to return. Soon afterward, the boy started to have sessions of psychotherapy with an excellent specialist. The memories he retains of this period are of board games kept in an appealing wooden box in the consulting room. At a certain point, the psychologist suggested, cleverly, that the dream might somehow be under control, and then the nightmare of the witches was replaced by another dream. This one also had a disagreeable narrative, though it wasn't a horror story so much as a piece of Hitchcockian suspense with surprising image editing. The grey thriller was
Sample complete. Ready to continue?